Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710sports.com. Don't forget about TheOutdoorLine.com as well. Good morning, Joey Pyburn.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. After we got off the water yesterday, I had quite a bit of work to do. Had to go to Seattle and go to the airport, back home. Had a bunch of emails and just business stuff to deal with. Didn't get to sleep as early as I normally would on a show evening.
Yeah.
So when I got up this morning, I made my coffee and started driving, and I almost went to the boat. I was getting on I-5, and I was like, I just stayed in the right lane, like I'm going down Marine View, and then I was like, wait,
hold it, right.
Show day. Man, we finally limited the boat yesterday for the first time this season.
For the first time together. We did.
We got
Bart Fulmer and Shane that day, but you and I, dude, I mean, it's been, you know, we've been getting fish, but we just haven't had that day where we had a boat limit and hooked others and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it happened quick, man. The bite was fast and furious, and it was awesome. We figured out a little program with our little tiny spoon, that downsizing.
Well, and every fish we've opened up, I mean, in stark contrast to last year, when these Puget Sound Chinook, they're biting big baits, they're biting plugs, they're hitting jigs, they're hitting all this kind of stuff. We had just, you know, a historic, monumental, an amazing herring spawn this year. And what's that produce? A lot of baby herring.
A lot. And every fish is plugged with the other thing. The size of the candlefish is also
small,
very small,
which is strange.
Almost identical to the size of the herring. You're talking some are an inch and a half.
Yeah.
The big ones are 2.5 inches.
But all of these fish are so well fed.
Yeah, they're just thick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, every single one of them had significant gut contents yesterday, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I tell you what, man, interesting deal. And you know, so we had a conference call earlier this week. We met with WDFW, you know, the Puget Sound Recreational Advisors, and talking to the department with regard to the management, the ongoing management in 9 and 10. And the topic on the table was an increase the limit to 2 fish. And I did not want to see it.
I did not either. Look, here's the thing. We still have 15 days left here that we can fish. And if they would have raised the limit, and now, I mean, what I'm hoping is this is the beginning of a big push of fish.
I think so,
coming
too.
Around the corner.
I completely
agree
with that.
We had good reports from up in the north end of 9. We did well up there. Even on later into the day, guys had really good.
And no point was solid yesterday as well.
Yes. So if they raised that limit to 2 fish and people hear, oh, the fish are here, now everybody hits the water. And we chew up the quota, and boom, we're off the water in, you know, 5 to 7 days.
I mean, I honestly want to see this thing go in the distance. I don't know that it will now. But we'll see. That absolutely remains to be seen. We'll run down all those quota numbers for you. Also, got a couple changes of scenery with regard to local opportunities. San Juan's yesterday was the last day in Marine Area 7 for Chinook. WDFW will be reassessing what's left on the quota, and it's going to be right around 15%. So that leaves some fish on the table for a weekend opener later on in August. We'll see if and when that materializes. At least, though, and this is an absolute first wacky deal, imagine something wacky coming out of this year. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Is a later Puget Sound halibut opportunity that opens up on the 6th, the same day that our ocean halibut opportunity that normally is in the spring.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out.
It's going to be interesting to see, are there still halibut out there? And how many guys are going to go take the time and try to go catch one? Well, look, guys up in seven now who can't fish for Chinook can fish for coho and halibut. So you still have some cool opportunities. I'm excited to see how many halibut guys can go out there and catch in August, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. Well, and the distraction, you know, of all the other, you know, opportunities you have. The one thing that halibut has going for it is it's often the only game in town other than bottom fish. And right now in Marine Area 7, it will be the only game in town. So guys can still go out and you know, even downrigger fish in some of those areas with larger herring and catch halibut if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Because, and you made the comment today, we were looking at this set of ebb tides coming up this week. There is some actual bomb toilet flush ebbs this week.
Biggins.
Yeah.
And kind of perfect for that whole Port Townsend mid-channel area.
For salmon.
Yes, for salmon.
For Straits halibut, very difficult tides.
Yeah, difficult tides. Yeah, no. I would, and look, on big tides like that, you don't really want to anchor up. You want to let that tide move you across those banks.
So if you're moving, you might as well be moving in a familiar technique to you.
Well, and I've always thought, I don't see a lot of guys do it in here, but on those big tides, you can almost sit into it, put your big herring down, and almost back yourself down that bar.
Yeah.
And that pushes, those fish are going to be stuck to the bottom,
they are.
Right? Well, if they see a big old herring backing down on their face, that's probably your best bet.
So it's interesting you say that because I've done that in the Columbia with downriggers.
Yeah.
And when we used to be able to fish right up just about to the face of Bonneville Dam back in the like early 2000s, 2001, we had that monster freaking run of springers down there. And everybody's the fish all congregated and came up to that stretch from Beacon Rock on up to the dam cutoff below Bonneville. And I'll never forget Eric Lindy's face when he saw me show up with downriggers because everybody's using those jumbo jet divers and line counters and guessing. And actually, there weren't even many line counters back then.
Yeah.
They looked like freaking bicycle counters bolted onto the handle, click, 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 click. It was so sad. So I brought downriggers down to the Columbia.
Of course you did.
And hovered them 10 feet off the bottom. 5 feet off the bottom, and ran quick fish. Well, what do you need to do the minute a salmon hits a quick fish? Let them have it.
Yeah.
There's no more let them have it than pulling it out of a release.
Sure.
And we laid waste to them.
Huh.
It was, and then I brought that same program on up to the Vernita Reach. So backing downriggers. So I had never really considered until you just mentioned it, the same kind of deal of just holding in the current. And you could even work almost sideways on some of the Straits banks and stay on the periphery of that edge.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing about Straits currents that are different than river currents are consistent. I won't use the term laminar because there's turbulence down there, but they're consistent. They're all going one direction generally in different speeds. There's current contrasts in the Straits. The way seriously, the surface current is going different than the bottom current, and there's probably something probably something happened. Yes, and so you could find yourself tying yourself in knots.
Look, we know this when we're running 18-pound downrigger balls, and we've been at mid channel and had our cables cross down there, which tells you it's just churning down there.
So I would remind you. That boat's the better part of 10 feet, as most everybody's is, across.
Yep.
And we stick our boom straight out. So you add another 10 feet right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's two 18-pound balls 20 feet apart.
Yeah. Occasionally,
you're still getting across.
I'll look at my angle and I'll be like, my angle is going straight under the boat, and yours is like going back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the heck is going on down there?
Yeah, it's just that turning deal. But that's also more of the stuff that we'll get unlocked with that fish hawk. Temperature
Probe. Yeah. And it's cool to know the speed down there.
It is.
You see your speed and then see actually what's going on. You can kind of tell what the current's doing by the speed of the fish hawk, you know.
Well, what blew me away too was, you know, the 10 or 12 degree difference from the surface water temps than temps down at depth.
Yeah.
So, and you know, once we kind of unlock this, we're going to learn a little bit more about it, obviously.
Sure.
But you know, you want that area. Right, that has the greatest temperature change if you're going to target the midwater column. Speaking of the midwater column, we've seen coho all week.
Yeah.
All week. Little coho, decent coho, jumping coho, 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 coho. We saw the orcas this week.
Yes, we did.
We've seen gray whales. Dude, Puget Sound has a pile of life in it right now.
Yeah, it's very, very alive. I mean, cool to see the orcas, the gray whales. Yeah. We caught king salmon. We pulled crab pots that were loaded with crab all in one day.
Yeah.
And just that blows people's minds. It's so fun.
Oh, dude, it's kicking.
And the crabbing continues to be so good.
Yeah, it's kicking a pants. So look, I got the Tech Story loaded up here, gang. 710-710 powered by Yamaha Outboards. And guys are popping a few texts in here about crabbing and soaking and all that kind of stuff. And bear hunters out there too. So it is opening day. Joey's taking one for the team today. He's not bear hunting today, which I'm really, really thankful for. We actually get to go up and work on a duck shack today.
Yes, we do. Cool. We're doing something hunting.
We are doing something hunting oriented today. We're going to take a day off the water. Kind of. But there's so much going on in the ocean. We've got some change of quotas, some openings, some closings. And so Dave Johnson, our dear friend from Kitsap Marine, is going to jump in, give us that ocean season update. The halibut opener, is it tuna time yet? No.
No.
Our friend outdoor writer Jason Brooks talking to us about that Brewster Pool, Chelan Falls, and his August hunts. And then the nicest guy on Puget Sound,
without a sweetheart.
He's just the milk of human kindness. Flows through his veins from his 18 years in the NFL. My old college roommate and fishing buddy, Kevin Gogan, is going to jump in and tell us about his limit of salmon and crab. And all that and much more. Load up that text toy. We'll be right back here on the Outdoor Line, powered by legendary Yamaha Reliability. 710 ESPN Seattle.
From the Pacific Ocean coast to your ears, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That is Joe Piver, and I'm Tom Nelson. Thanks for tuning on in today. Joey, let's run through a few of these texts here, guys. From the 425, this is 710-710, powered by Yamaha Outboards. Had a six-hour soak using all the good stuff. And, okay, we're talking about crabbing here, obviously. Salmon head, chicken, raised baits, crab stuff. And the whole dock got red rock crab except for one Dungeness. One Dungeness keeper from 10 till 5 yesterday. I understand kind of what a weighted tower is, but can you explain why on Friday? Should it get better this weekend? Dude.
You're crabbing in the wrong spot.
100%. 100%.
If you're crabbing where there's red rocks.
If you got a 5-1 red rock to Dungeness keeper deal, you're crabbing in the rocks.
Yep.
And so what will you find? Probably out seaward or deeper from those rocks. That combination of smaller rocks and sand and eelgrass that's going to... Look, it's okay to pull up a pot and have a little mud in it.
Yeah, we do it all the time.
We do it all the time.
Yep.
So you got to look at your substrate. How do you find your substrate? You look at your chart. What do you see on your chart? Little symbols that say M for mud and R for rock. And where do you find these symbols and how to read them? Google... Chart number one.
Yep.
Google chart number one, and you'll get the NOAA publication that is a cartographer's shorthand to all the little symbols on a nautical chart that will unlock the bottom structure. You do not want a crab on rock.
Unless you're a big fan of a pot full of rock crab.
Rock crab, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Look,
have you ever eaten a red rock?
Yeah, of course. When I was a kid. Yeah. If we caught big ones, we would keep them.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're okay. I prefer...
You're mostly keeping them for that big pincher is what you're doing, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
The head meat, the body meat is not... It's very small.
Right.
Their legs don't get big and full.
And they don't taste quite as good as a
Dungeness. They do not. So here's the thing about
I got to tell a story on Joey Pyburn right now.
Oh, okay.
Joey had never taken like a hot Dungeness crab out of the steam and eaten it before.
No, I had not. Wednesday. I mean, I've eaten Tuesday, a lot of crab
dude,
right out of the pot, I always dunk them in ice water and chill them a bit. That changed my life the other day. I was like, do you want me to, you know, talk?
This?
We dumped the whole pile of crab on
you
the bait
You posted a
table.
Picture on Instagram.
Yeah, it was killer. And I was like, oh, you want me to spray these down and cool them down? And Tom's like, no. And everybody just starts grabbing them and cracking them. So hot, you could barely crack it.
Yeah.
And then the meat inside is so hot, you could barely eat it. But it was...
It's just...
unreal.
It never tastes like that again.
No.
It's like salmon coming out of a smoker, dude.
You ruined it.
Yeah. It won't taste like that again.
So listen, the Dungeness, like sand and mud. If you've ever been out in the flats,
Eelgrass.
And you watch a dungeness wiggle their little body, and they'll sink right down into the mud and disappear.
They love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love it.
They don't want to be on rocks.
Yeah.
So
there's more stuff for them to eat in looser substrates because they could pick up clam necks, they could pick up other critters like that, and making a living on a rock for both halibut and crab is a tough deal.
Yeah. You know? What else we got?
All right. So coho tips for off the bank around Woodby area 81. I don't know where area 83 is. It must be 82.
It's right next to 82.
It's right 82 and a half. Okay. So when I smell breakfast.
I do.
This may be a quick segment. So for coho, there's a couple things you want to do. And the favorite way for me to fish coho off the bank is cut plugs under a float.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when they're rolling around.
Yeah. Or that's probably one of the most effective ways. But it also doesn't hurt to have like some spoons that you can cast. Bucktails.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Something you can throw also under a float and kind of jig around out there.
And a lot of
guys jig them too.
They jig them.
Almost
like a buzz bomb type of program. With a buzz bomb, it's got a little more side profile to it, and it'll fall slightly slowly with a little more action than, say, a Point Wilson dart or a Dungeness stinger or something like that. Lure Jensen crippled herring come to mind.
But also like a twitching jig,
yes.
Almost like
yes.
A river application.
I agree.
Because, it's a pretty fun way to get them too, right?
Dude, yeah.
And if it's a more active way to fish,
so,
right?
So when the chum, for instance, okay, now I'm going completely off the rails here, but indulge me for a second. So in the chum fishery, particularly right outside Hoodsport and Hood Canal,
yeah,
what do? Anchovies under slip floats, so they can work those things up and down the water column.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think that program would work for coho, then you've never fished anchovies under a slip float for coho.
Yeah, and I've never done it, but
I bet you crush them. You know that it worked. And the cool thing is, you know, you're going to be fishing probably if you're on the bank. There's a chance going to be someone next to you. You're not going to be in anybody's way if you're straight out. There's going to be a drift, obviously. But as you retrieve that, then that thing's going up and down through the water column. Yeah.
And there are, like we talked about earlier, there's coho everywhere out there.
Yeah.
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 Lots of coho.
Yeah. All right. So, all right. What else we got here? Okay. So, where do you get relevant catch stats? This is from the 360-710-710, powered by Yamaha Boards. Where do you get relevant catch stats for Puget Sound? Where do they publish the creel reports? If you go to wdfw.wa.gov, you go to the fishing page, and you're going to find them in creel reports, fishing reports.
Yeah.
Or you can even
just Google Washington creel reports. Boom. It will take you right there.
Yep. Yep. All that stuff and more. So tell you what, it's 6:20. We're going to pile out here for a quick break. It has nothing to do with the fact that I smell breakfast and Kathy's going to be bringing it down the stairs. It's not why we're leaving this segment. Okay. It's not. But rather, there's so much going on in the ocean right now. And our dear friend from Kitsap Marine and PFMC board member, Dave Johnson, joining us next to run us down an ocean season update. That halibut opener that's going to happen this week. Is it tuna time out on the coast? That and a lot more. Stay tuned. Dave Johnson joining us next here on the Outdoor Line 710 ESPN. In Seattle.
Welcome to the FOMAC Tech Line. FOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI shellfish gear is simply the best. FOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome to the Tech Line, here presented by FOMAC at 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. Joey Pyburn here with me in the Roy Robinson Chevy Studios here in Tulsa. Matt Nelson back in our Seattle studios, and on the phone from Kitsap Marina, Dave Johnson, PFMC board member, all-around good guy and sharp stick. What's up, Dave? How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Just watching a beautiful sunrise.
We'll take it. All right. Now,
it's beautiful.
So you got to spend all the time on the straits yesterday. You had to deliver a boat into the San Juan. So you've been getting a little bit of time on the water. Probably this summer hasn't lined up exactly like you expected to spend time on the water this year.
I've actually had to spend more time traveling from DQ out to the ocean every weekend. But, you know, you got to thank the people here in CQ for welcoming everybody that normally moves to the bush in the bay. And, you know, we made it work.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, so with this Saturday comes a bunch of different regulation changes. Area 4 is closing. Was it west of Tatoosh?
Yeah.
West of Tatoosh.
4B is closed.
4D is closed. That's the inside little bit there.
East of
CQ's now. Yeah. CQ's now. Is shut down as well. We got, and that's actually going to help
Chinook.
Us for Chinook, right. Area 6 remains open for coho and Chinook. or 6 west of Eddie's Hook. Now, and so Iwako closed last week. So in the ocean on a salmon front, buddy, that leaves us Westport, which has picked up.
Yeah, it's been sporadic, but the fish this year have been very, very good size.
Yeah.
I know yesterday everybody I talked to had an epic day down there yesterday. Tuesday, Wednesday, they struggled, but the guys that stuck it out did good. They're running and to about the 48 to 54 line from 260 to 270 feet of water. Most guys have been running from 90 to 140 feet down on the downrigger. And catching some big, beautiful kings.
Yeah, it's kind of been sporadic everywhere, right? The inside fishery, the outside. One day it's good. One day they're here. You go back, you think you got something going, and then you're like, okay, well, back to the drawing board.
That's been chapter and verse for us this year. You think you got it figured out.
We've got one spot here in Nea Bay that has been producing for all 3 weeks pretty regularly. But it's a tide thing, and you get about an hour, hour and a half bite, about an hour after the flood starts, and it's been pretty good. So it's kind of nice to sleep in a little bit this morning and not have to worry about it.
What's it going to look like out there on August 6th when we get an opener for halibut?
Game. I hope we can find them. We haven't fished this late in the year, and gosh, I don't think I've done it in 10, 12 years. It's going
to
be
guys are going to have the opportunity to go out and catch a king salmon and possibly a halibut.
King salmon in the ocean. You can catch your yellowtail if you choose because salmon will still be open, so you can catch 7 yellowtail. You can catch 4 widows. You can catch 2 lingcod and your 1 halibut. And, you know, the nice thing this year is we got it open a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days in a row.
That's
key. From the bush all the way to Area 10.
All right, so that is so key because anglers, you know yourself, Dave, if you get 1 day to fish a fishery, you're only fishing that with partial effectiveness, okay? If you get 2 days, you're so much better and you get to the right places quicker. But that third day, third time's a charm, man. Generally, by the time you've worked a fishery over for 3 days in a row, you're going to figure something out. And with the tides and locations and the challenges you have with halibut, man, if you have it in you to go fish 3 days in a row for those critters, hey, on the third day, man, if you haven't been rewarded already, you will be on that third day halibut fishing, no question.
So do you think that those fish are going to be out deeper at this point? Or, I mean, do we have any idea?
I personally think they're going to be shallower.
Okay.
When I used to fish the Canadian side of Swifter in August and September, it was really good in there, and they were up in the shallower water. You know, in early May and late April, when we do get to fish, you know, I fished as deep as 1,000 feet, and God for luck, reels.
That sounds really fun.
As the season progressed, they come up shallower.
Okay, so they come up shallower. Could guys go out there and troll a whole herring close to the bottom and possibly catch a Chinook or a halibut, or is it going to be typical, you know, halibut gear and fishing?
No, I think if you wanted to try both, you can. You know, a big white hoochie works really good for that.
Okay.
We were fishing really deep about 3-4 weeks ago out off of Wada and caught quite a few chicken halibut, you know, trolling in the mud for kings. So I think they're going to be there.
So getting back to the salmon deal, you know, just a second, and why wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'd be yelled at if I wasn't, really.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at it strictly from a quota perspective, coastwide, we're like 63% of the coho quota and really only 18% of that Chinook quota. I realize we hit it in Iwako. All right, but we're not really that close in Westport. I mean, you can't even really get to La Push, but I think Nea Bay is sitting right around 50% of their Chinook guideline.
64% on the coho.
Okay. In Marine Area 4, 4 West.
In Marine Area 4, there's a lot less effort up here today because, you know, with Area 4B, if guys want to run down there and catch coho, which I hope they don't, but it's their own choice, is they have to run past Seal Rock because you can only fish west of Seal Rock through Coho and out to Tattoo, Chinook retention. You know, we're only at 22% in Westport on the Coho quota and 18 on the Kings. So that fishery should last. I'm thinking Area 3 and 4 should last a few more weeks. You know, so guys do have a chance to go catch the halibut and salmon and everything all in the same day.
Yeah, no question about it. And the fact
if,
that...
If the ports in Nia Bay and La Push were open, we'd have been done already.
I believe it.
Yeah.
So these are bonus days in my mind.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's a very interesting observation. I had not heard that take before, Dave. But how can the challenge of getting to Marine Areas 3 or 4 without those home ports of La Push and Nia Bay, you know, you just can't freaking get there. And you'd waste so much time. So yeah, I mean, there, you know, tremendous effort reduction in those areas is definitely what we're going to see. One of the silver linings, if there is one, the Chinook fishing, the size of those fish that I'm seeing come in off of Westport have been phenomenal so far this year. But if you don't think I'm looking at August 1st and thinking of Buoy 10 here in a couple weeks, dude,
wait till the 14th is going to be – they're going to be big fish.
Yes.
The fish we've been catching have been just beautiful, bright red-meated fish. We did catch a couple of Fraser River marbles, but they're eating really small bait, and they've got huge shoulders and –
Yeah. Does Buoy 10 open up on the 14th or Saturday the 15th of August?
I thought it was the 14th.
We'll look. It is the second weekend. Yeah. We got a couple weeks to get that right. But
last but not least, when are we going to see some tuna fishing happening that we don't have to travel 160 miles in a day?
Well, set the scene. Give us the latest reports because a couple weeks
it was really good. We had all those big winds last week in Westport. It's blown them south and out. Guys ran 80-plus miles yesterday for zero.
Oh.
I know a bunch of guys that are running today because the ocean's beautiful. I hope they find them. But it's really tough. You know.
Let me tell you from personal experience, it's really hard to get happy running 160 miles, 80 there, 80 back. It's hard to get happy after that when catching no tuna.
Yes.
Did any of those guys commit suicide on the way back?
Yeah, they were there. Did they lose a couple guys on the way back?
When they got their fuel bill?
That's brutal, man. But that's
$700 fuel bill for no fish.
Dude, I mean, even if you come back and you got 50 tuna on board, you're still standing at the cleaning dock for a couple hours, right? But
the next day all day.
Boy, no. Yeah, there you go. Ice them down. I like Tobeck's program. Cutting cold tuna the next day works for me. No question.
Next day is the only way to do it.
I like that program. I like the overnight program. No question about it. And so, obviously, conjecture when this situation is going to flip. It's going to take something oceanographic to get those warmer water temps, the sea surface temps, the chlorophyll breaks, and everything within sight of those ports. But I'm here to tell you, I remember a few years, and you do too, not too many years back, where late August and early September was the best tuna fishing of the absolute season.
My favorite's October, if God lets us out.
We're hunting, man. Just calm down. Okay. We can't, Dave.
We're done.
We're going to pull a plug on him. We can't talk about tuna fishing in October. Dude, Joey gave up opening day of the bear season today to come do the radio show. If you think I could get him in the studio to honestly talk about October tuna fishing, he's not going to talk. Dude, he's going to – if there wasn't breakfast on the table in front of him right now, I think he just would have walked out right there, Dave.
You're just lucky you have St. Cathy.
Oh, you boy, in so many more ways than one.
You're telling me, dude.
She's a saint. There's no question about it. Okay, Dave. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning. Keep us posted. And so are you. So what,
when are you getting back?
Where are you fishing next? And what's the program?
We're headed to Nia Bay here in about an hour.
All right. I need to see my phone light up with some big old Nia Bay hogs, buddy.
Yeah.
Make me hurt for sticking here in Puget Sound.
You've been catching some fish.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, we had a couple fun days yesterday. Yeah, a few fun days this week. All right, buddy. Dave Johnson, Kitsap Marina. Hey, what's going on at Kitsap Marina before we let you go, buddy?
Very busy. It's been wonderful, except with this COVID thing, trying to get parts and motors and everything else. The back order log is, it's something like we've never experienced.
Yeah, it's a challenging time, definitely. But, you know, it's wonderful to see people dusting off their boats and using them and having some success.
Yeah, well, you've got to remember, there's no soccer, there's no baseball. Families don't have anything to do, so they're boating and camping. And it's nice to see, because hopefully some of these kids stick with fishing.
They will.
They will. They definitely will, buddy. Dave Johnson, Kitsap Marina, thank you for your time, buddy. We'll be in touch, and let me know how you do in the eBay this afternoon.
All right.
Dave.
Good luck, man.
All right. Cheers. Thanks,
buddy. Bye. Coming up next, Raymarine Picks of the Week for the first time here in August here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Welcome to Raymarine Picks of the Week here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Head to raymarine.com and check out the brand new Axiom Plus unit. One of the toughest, most durable, brightest, 50% brighter than current Axiom products and weatherproof.
And we're going to get one.
We're putting one on the cleaning table, dude.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness, dude. That's going to be Joey's ICU 2 TV back there.
Well, and if you've seen Mike Surdick's boat, you see that he has one on the back, right on the cleaning table. So when you're back there working the rigger, all you got to do is you can almost see your rod and the screen at the same time, which
you may
is
never
huge.
You won't look away ever.
I'll
again.
Never.
That was
yeah,
it.
I'll never leave the corner of the boat.
We're just gonna find the kind of little cushiony seat right there.
And the cool thing is, the autopilot controls will be right there, so I can also run the
steer
boat.
Steer the boat. Yep.
I mean, just
the only thing you're gonna need me for is throttle control. And barely even at that, so ever again. So we're going to talk to Bruce Larson about Duckworth, about making a little Joey seat back there for you. You know, figure that one out. So it's been, again, you hit the nail on the head with regard to the Chinook opportunity. It's been fits and starts, right? But now things are kind of lining up a little bit. We're getting late enough in August where the Chinook runs are definitely kind of straightening out, getting a little more consistent. The hitting the quota in CQ, keep CQ open for coho, but lets those Chinook.
Gives a free passage for our Chinook to get through us.
Well, except for a few guys in Area 6 are whacking on them, but still, they can't catch them all.
Nope.
So now they're starting to turn a corner a little bit. Now we're going to see these. What's the term you use for the ebbs this week?
Bomber ebbs.
Bomber ebb tides.
And that's really, those are like late morning ebbs.
Yeah.
So I think we look tomorrow, what do we have, 10 o'clock, something like that.
And when, you know,
so guys are going to be setting up on that right away in the morning.
Yep.
That thing's going to set up maybe 8:30, be prime time. And we're really going to get a good judge of what's happening out there because guys are going to pound on it today and tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, in fact, we got a couple guys, you know, out there right now that are looking around. And I love this light level for this morning, too. So, you know, and the thing about morning ebbs, if you're going to give me the first hour of daylight, or, you know, if you're going to give me the first 2 hours of daylight, I'll give you the rest of the day. You know what I mean? And so when you get, just because of the change in light level, you know, it just seems like the Chinook are going to bite, particularly if it's been a dark, moonless night. And when you get that light condition, that's exactly what you want, combined with a tide change, especially a low, dude, I'm telling you, this could be, for a catch for unit effort standpoint, the best week of the season in Marine Area 9 and Area 10. I mean, we know there's fish flooding in, you know, turning a corner at Point No Point yesterday. They're going to definitely reach Area 10 this week, too.
No Point was good yesterday. I just saw this. Our buddy Larry Mandela had sent us some pics yesterday that I kind of missed. The phone was kind of blowing up at a certain point, and his buddies were out there, and they hammered them, dude, like hammered them.
That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. So, okay, so what else is going on? You know, we're seeing this new halibut opportunity Dave Johnson dug into last segment. That's going to change a lot of guys' program. And in the San Juans, even though Chinook season's closed for a little while here before we get the rest of that quota, hey, you can still get your boat out and go chase a halibut in the Straits and the islands.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And fish for coho.
There's also all kinds of stuff going on. Baker Lake, tomorrow is the last day.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, but that means I think they were at about 6,500 fish. They wanted to keep about 4,000 in the lake. That means, guys, I think the first couple days they caught like 1,000 sockeye. They should be pushing up on that 2,500 sockeye. Guys did really well. It was a good fishery, and it's nice to see. That's like one of those little presents. Oh, it is. All of a sudden,
nobody thought we were going to get it.
Yeah.
And there's a little extra something under the summer Christmas tree. Yes. Under the Fishmas tree. Okay. And then, so since you mentioned sockeye, dude, the Central Washington salmon anglers should be envied and, you know, probably on the close side of jealousy right now because of the amazing fishing they've had, so much to the point where they just and this is just, if you're a guide, you really don't want to see this. 6 sockeye, dude, per angler, okay, in Brewster Pool and, you know, on.
Well, upstream
Priest Rapids.
Yeah, so you're going to do also Lake Wenatchee.
And that opens up the day that Baker Lake shuts down.
Yep.
Now, I used to fish Lake Wenatchee a bunch. And it is, it's fun. It's beautiful. It's scenic. They used to have the old Cougar Inn up at that end of the lake, and they let you keep your boat there. And, you know, it's like a little chunk of Alaska almost, you know, in the Pacific Northwest. But now you got to launch at Lake Wenatchee State Park and run the length of the lake. Big deal. No biggie. But you kind of want to get that upper end of the lake between Little Wenatchee and Little White River where those sockeye are milling around.
Yeah.
And you got that high bank on that one side that's going to give you some shade a little bit. And that's a morning and evening deal too. But those sockeye are so good eating, you know, they're phenomenal. They're a little rusty by the time you get them, but you know what? They eat.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. Fine. They're great. Guys are going to keep 4 fish on Lake Wenatchee. And then, I mean, the fishing, I talked to Austin yesterday.
Austin Mosier of Austin's Northwest Guide Service. Boom Pow, that guy.
Boom Pow.
Yeah.
And dude, he's
did
like,
you bring a spiral notebook for with notes? You got show notes? So Robbo usually brings in like a cocktail napkin or something.
I think he had, let's see, 24 sockeye to the boat by like 10 o'clock. And I talked to him yesterday, Tom, man. It was like 2 in the afternoon, and he answers the phone. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, oh, I'm riding jet skis. So he's off the water, done with 2 groups for the day, loading the boat. I mean, dude, 4 sockeye, 2 kings.
Yeah.
They're catching kings, too, pretty well.
Right.
I mean, that's probably going to heat up here in August.
Yeah.
Right? Guys are going to be able to go over there, catch their sockeye, and limit the boat with kings. So, I mean, they're catching kings right now, but it's really going to heat up here probably in the next week or two.
So, and we did dig into the regs. Buoy 10 does open up on the 14th. That's Friday, the 14th of August. That's a little less than 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
So when you look at what's been coming up in the Columbia, and it's already stacked up there, that is also generally the it's almost like the peak time of entry for the Columbia River at that time for Chinook. It's also some of the best tides of the year. You're going to look south at some point during the day if you're not on the Columbia River and see a Chinook mushroom cloud from down that neck of the dune. It's going to be phenomenal. I mean, look at all those fish that are coming by Westport right now. Bigger fish in particular. Yeah. And we can have Mark Boardman, Vortex Optics, with us. So, and also going on today, we can't let this slide by, that this is the bear opener, right?
It is, yes.
And Boardman gets here, what, a week from?
He'll fly in on the 7th.
He flies in on the 7th.
Yeah.
So that's Friday.
Yeah.
And he'll come sit in on the show with us on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you guys are departing post-haste for bear hunting.
Yeah, I think we were going to try to maybe get a couple days fishing with you in front of it. But now we may change our plans.
Whatever you want to do, let me know.
And we may jump on the boat Saturday after
the
show and just tootle around
somewhere
here.
Perfect.
But then I think we better get in the mountains and try to get a bear so we can get back and I can get his butt down to Buoy 10 and we can at least get one day there. I think that would be key, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Have him drive down there and
put him on the plane and send him home, wore out.
Yeah, he will be too, dude. He's, mm-hmm. It could be such a thing as we're shipping some smoked salmon back to him too, you know, yeah. Whatever he wants to do. But yeah, cannot.
And hopefully some bear meat.
Cannot, absolutely not wait. Okay, so we got a whole pile of texts here. We got to get to 710-710, powered by Yamaha Reliability. 253, congrats to Jackson. He's 14 years old. Hit his first king salmon out of Westport, his 20-pounder. Congratulations, Jackson. Hey, boys, I'm looking to spend my 31 days off on a river. I'm a bank fisherman, love fly fishing. Where should I head right now? Go to the Skykomish.
Yeah. Going to spend, did he say 31 days off?
He's got 31 hours
off.
Oh,
31 hours
off. So it sounds like a military guy or potentially a weekend warrior. What do you got, buddy?
Yeah, if you're close. Yeah. The Sky. There has been some steelhead showing up, and a lot of guys just kind of give up and quit.
They do.
King shut down on the Sky, so there's going to be not a lot of pressure. Yeah, I'd go play around on the upper Sky, above and below the hatchery. Maybe poke around on the Forks even. Sometimes some fish will slip by and be up there. It's beautiful up there. Even if you don't catch a fish, you're going to have a great 31 hours.
It's a summer day, and your feet are in the water.
Yes.
So you're going to be just fine, no question about it. When does Coho in 8-1 and 8-2 open? I have to look into that because I don't know that we have an 8-1 or 8-2 coho season, and it's going to be selective in 9. Go to wdfw.wa.gov and you can find that set of regs right there that are going to let you know what the program is.
It is not open this year.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I do not think it is. From the 425, good morning. Any reports from the Inner Elliott Bay opportunity this weekend? It was very well attended yesterday.
It was. I didn't hear any good reports. I didn't really know that many guys that were down there. I had one guy that I talked to on social media. He said he caught a few shakers. That was it. He saw a couple nets.
Yeah.
But opening day, it's going to take those guys probably a little bit to kind of figure out where those fish are and how to catch them. These fish have not been normal. We've ran through way more gear on your boat than I've ever have.
And I've had this conversation with some really, really good sticks in Puget Sound. We both have. You know, has there ever been a season in Puget Sound where you have had more non-biting Chinook, marking Chinook, no question about it? And I think this year is, you know, certainly at the top of that list.
Yeah.
And I think I have a couple explanations for
Well, it. And when you say, when guys are like, well, how do you know they're non-biting? I was talking to my Uncle Ray yesterday, and he was talking about specifically watching the mark streak up right to his bait, look at it, and streak back to the bottom, right? That's how you know.
Yeah.
When we're putting our gear in front of fish, we can see if those fish move to the gear and then move away. And then you know, it's like, man, that's what's so frustrating. You're putting your gear, I know I'm putting it in their face, and they're not biting it, and it drives me nuts. I just start running through gear. I'm constantly switching gear out, trying to find that thing that'll make them bite. And I think one of the things is there's a lot of food out there for
them
right
exactly
now.
That is
right?
Exactly the point, dude. And so, it's not just food. It's very high value, high nutrition food, because those young little herring are so full of oil, and those young little candlefish that, dude, it's just like, okay, you just got done eating a pizza and you walk into a smorgasbord, you're less than freaking, you know, fired up about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so, well, I mean, some people are. I could go do it again, but if
they are going to bite, it has to be something that triggers a response, predatory response in them. And whether they could be stuffed to the gills, and whatever that thing is, they can't not, they have to bite, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. Like you said, the plug thing.
Killing me. It's so much fun to catch Chinook.
I just don't think this year it will, dude, it's just not going to happen.
It ain't happening this year. Somebody listening to the show right now is shaking their head because they've already caught a Chinook on a plug this year on possession bar. And I'm glad.
I'm just saying, and it's not going to be wide open like we've had in the past. Obviously, look, somebody out there is going to catch them on a 7-inch spoon or a U-20, whatever.
Yeah.
But we're talking about those wide open bites where it's like every morning you go out, you run the same plugs down, you don't have to change out any gear,
yep.
and boom, the rods blow up. That's so, just not happening this year.
Yeah, it's not.
No.
And it's so much fun when they do. That is absolutely such a kick. We got time for one more text here before we pop out of here for a break. And it is, guys, what salmon downrigger rod do you recommend? And that's a great question, okay? We run two basic downrigger rods on the boat. And one of them is a Fenwick HMX 10.5 medium heavy.
Yeah.
Okay. And that medium heavy is just a little bit, that's our standard flasher rod.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we run a 10.5 Fenwick HMX medium. Mm-hmm. And that's our bait rod.
Yeah.
So where we don't have a flasher on it.
And I like that rod.
And you can run flashers on that rod too.
You can run flashers on that rod.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you and I could probably run that rod all the time, but if you have people on the boat, you probably want that medium.
Yeah, and medium heavy. So, and one of the things it's really, really difficult to communicate to folks, especially, you know, fish and flasher gear, is consistent and aggressive line tension. Mm-hmm. And that's what that 10.5 foot rod does. It's a big freaking 10 foot spring above your head that fish can come up and what will they do? The flasher's dragging in the water, and then you see the fish come up to it, and the guy's fighting the flasher, and the fish comes up to the water. We lost a fish like that yesterday.
Yeah.
Shane Palco. But sorry. I know, not calling anybody out or anything like that, but
yeah,
you know, that, so it, that, it happens. I mean, it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's something guys really need to watch is when that fish is coming up, and say the fish is swimming right to left, your flasher is dragging. As soon as it pops out of the water, that flasher is going to swing,
yep.
and you're going to have slack
boom,
in your
boom,
line.
Boom, boom, boom,
you
yeah.
almost have to anticipate it coming out of the water, reel down, and as that flasher pops through the water, you want to be pulling the slack out of that line, right?
Yeah.
Keeping the tension. So many fish are lost when that flasher pops out of the water and it flies forward in the air because now there's no drag on it, and bink, it almost pulls the hook out of the fish's
mouth. And, dude, I got release flashers on the boat. It's just that this year has been a year that you have to pay such assiduous attention to detail to consistently get bit that I haven't had the opportunity to throw another variable into the freaking equation.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So that's one of the things we're definitely watching for. All right, we're up against the break here. We're going to have some fun here in hour two. I'm not going to lie. All right. Our dear friend, outdoor writer Jason Brooks, going to tell us all about Brewster, Chelan Falls, and August hunts. The Northwest Outdoor Report presented by Truck Vault. Roe Robinson's really where. And then let's just say a tremendous, just a wonderful person that would never, you know, ever, you know, have a conflict with anybody of any type whatsoever.
No.
Former NFL All-Pro, two-time Super Bowl champ, and our fishing buddy Kevin Gogan joining us, if we can wake him up. That kind of remains to be seen, too. So we're going to try to get all this.
I already shot a text off.
And
I have not heard back from him.
And he's not Matt Nelson's favorite guest because of the propensity to cause the dump button to get hit. But we'll get this thing all figured out. Okay, so we got all that and a pile more. Stay with us. Load up that text. So we didn't quite get all the texts, but we'll pop those out too. We'll be right back here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.